Hello and welcome back to the podcast. This week, I am not alone. I am here with Mr. Marcus Lloyd himself. Now, Marcus is someone who has been a follower for a while. And when I launched my first retreat, he was one of the first to submit an application and book his spot. Now, the reason why I've brought him onto the podcast today is because the journey he's been on over the last year has been absolutely insane. And I really felt it would be inspiring to share it with all of you. Now, just as a disclaimer, whilst I would love you to join me on a retreat, that is not what this podcast is all about. This is not an advertisement. I simply wanted to bring Marcus on here because I firmly believe that in hearing his story, you'll be able to make some positive changes in your own life. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Marcus.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
You are so, so welcome. I'm going to kick off with a little question, a warm-up question. If you were to describe your mood right now in three words, what would those three words be?
Present, calm. And yeah, I'll acknowledge I'm feeling a little bit nervous for this.
Well, we said just before we kicked off with the call, we're both feeling a little bit strange about this. I'm used to sitting in a dark room with a mic held up to my face, just chatting away. And now I'm actually talking to someone over a screen. So let's embrace the weirdness, as you said.
100%.
Okie dokie. So let's get straight into it. If we were to go back, say, 1 year before the retreat, so the retreat was October 2023. If we were to go back to October 2022, what was life like for you then?
Yeah, it was very, very different to what it is now. It is plagued with so much negativity. I didn't really have any hope. I was going through an awful breakup. And it was just a really, really challenging time. I didn't feel present within myself at all. I didn't like myself. I wasn't planning for a future. Let's just say that. So, very different.
Were you working at the time or studying?
Yeah, so I was still doing my psychology and counselling degree. I was working in care at the time, which was very difficult because my partner was also working with me, or my ex-partner at the time was working with me. It was very, very difficult to obviously get that balance or try and recover from that. Because having to then see that person on a daily basis can be quite challenging. So I was working full-time, part-time student. So,
It must have felt strange studying a psychology degree, but then also feeling so confused and lost within your own mind, right?
Oh, 100%. Imposter syndrome is definitely sort of kicking in, where it's like, I have this desire to really help others. Yeah, I don't actually have hope for myself or, a future for myself. But I knew that while I was still here, I wanted to help people. And I was kind of just doing it really just for as long as I could until it was enough, really. So
where did that desire to want to help other people come from, do you think?
Definitely comes from childhood, being in not necessarily a healthy home environment. So growing up, so I had really challenging anger issues. I felt always kind of unlistened to, and didn't ever really receive help. So I kind of made a lot of changes myself anyway with my anger and general day to day stuff. But I was just really frustrated that, see, I didn't get that, and I knew what would have been really helpful. So I kind of wanted to be that person for. Because knowing what it's like not getting the help really sucks. I wanted to kind of make that sort of change.
What does that help look like when you envision what you, because I think both as a parent looking at your child struggling, and I speak about this very something's happened quite, what's the phrase, like it's very relevant. So my sister, she's 10 years younger than me, she's just about to go into sixth form, and she is really, really struggling. And my mum has no idea what to do. But then equally, my sister doesn't know what to do to help herself. So when you were thinking about wanting to be that person for other people, what do you think it was that you really needed that you want to give to other people?
for me, it was definitely a sense of understanding and feeling listened to. Because when you don't feel listened to or understood, you're very isolated. So really just having that person or group of people that can really take the weight off and just kind of, one, show you're not alone, and two, that it's okay to have these challenges. But, you know, with support, it can just be as simple as listening and showing effort to really try and understand. It can be as simple as that sometimes to really make an impact in someone's life, which, like I said, I never got that and I'd really have liked to. So
I think most of us who are in this industry of self-development, of helping other people, are doing it because of things that we've experienced ourselves or what we wish that we knew at the time. I know that's why I'm here as well. Okay, so moving forwards a year, or a year and a bit, because we're now in, I was going to say April, we're in March, aren't we? March 2024, a year and a bit later, how would you describe your life now compared to, so you've gone from, you were going through an awful breakup, you didn't like yourself, you weren't really planning of a future at all, you were just trying to get by, the anger issues, this feeling of not really having anyone in your corner around you. What does your life look like now?
Completely different. You know, I have so much hope for the future. I don't go through my days anymore kind of wanting it to end or to not wake up the next day. I don't have any of them sort of thoughts anymore. I kind of approach my day to day with the fact I will be challenged throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And it's just my approach to each challenge, which I kind of just take on, because that's a guarantee, isn't it? Like, you're going to be challenged. But it's a mentality I have now where, especially with all the skills that I learned from the retreat, it's so much easier. So what used to be like my good days are now kind of my sort of lower bad days. And yeah, it's just kind of smoother. I'm definitely an all-round more positive person. And yeah, I just kind of feel more motivated to really work. So I'm not doing it anymore to just fill a gap while I'm, you know, figuring things out. It's now a strong desire to really work towards that degree, towards my future, that I hope to have my own business. So yeah, it's very mirrored.
Before we get into really understanding, okay, what was it that got you from there to here? What I think a lot of people might be thinking, or I mean, they don't know about what your life actually looks like right now. From my understanding, you still live in your family's house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who can still be challenging.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, God, yeah.
You're still working in a job that does not have the kindest people in it. Can be quite challenging. That's correct. Yeah.
100%.
You're still studying the same course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you still don't really have any supportive people in your local area.
Yeah. Yeah. That's correct.
With nothing externally changing, yet you're saying that internally you're completely different. Myself, and I imagine people listening are like, how is that possible? If you're still in the same physical zone, how is your mental zone so much different?
It's because my inner peace is so much stronger. I have more self-worth within myself. Self-worth within myself. I just said that. it's just I know my value. And if anything externally doesn't line up with my values, I don't have to take it on. That's a choice that we get to make. We can either let it affect us, or we can just stay true to ourselves and our desires to really kind of just, yeah, not allow them external things. Because those external things, yes, that for me, they're very kind of stuck, let's say. They're not going anywhere at the moment.
Mm.
But I can either choose to fall victim to my circumstance, or I can picture exactly what I'm working to and work towards it. So yeah, it's definitely the relationship that you have with yourself, because at the end of the day, that's the most important relationship you'll ever have, which makes the external things that, although they're not positive, I can turn them to positives. I have a job, although, yes, it's not a very positive place. It brings in regular income. It does bring opportunities for extra money. I get to see loads of families, you know, come in and really enjoy themselves and seeing them positive relationships. Yes, I do have a room in my parents' house, although, yes, it's not a positive household environment, but I have a roof over my head. I have a bed. So, you know, we can always look at the things we don't have, but by looking at the things that you do have and the opportunities that you do have will allow you to take steps on a daily basis to reach your overall goal.
So as you were talking, I wrote down, I think it was three main things that you've identified as what has helped you feel the way that you currently feel. The first one was accepting the present. So realizing that where you are, you know, it's probably not going to change for a while, and accepting that. And also at the same time, focusing on the future, but not in a way that takes you out of the present, but in a way that motivates you. You also mentioned values in terms of seeing your own value, but also knowing what you value. And then thirdly, that ability to turn the negatives into positives. So if we go back to the accepting the present whilst also looking to the future, everything I talk about is always about, okay, let's not talk about it and around it. Let's talk about how to actually do it. So is there stuff on a daily basis that you do to help yourself accept the present and be excited for the future? As somebody who in the past did not want a future, but now is saying that that is the cause of your much increased baseline happiness, what have you done or what do you do to achieve that?
Well, on a daily basis, I wake up, I do my journaling in the morning, which is incredible with the structure that obviously you provided me.
Do you want to share with everyone what that looks like?
Yeah, so it's basically four questions. First question is, how are you feeling? So it's just acknowledging exactly how you're feeling as soon as you wake up. And then it is a gratitude list. Well, obviously, you can start from either 10 or 5, or, you know, obviously, even if you can only think of 3, you know, just finding things that you're grateful for. But having the rule of not repeating yesterday's is great, because it really encourages to find present gratitudes. It then goes on to, if I remember correctly.
Just give you a bit more time to think, but going back to the gratitude, you say, so that is a rule that I encourage people to stick to, is not repeating the same one. So if I was to do a gratitude list every morning, I'm telling you, my morning coffee would be on it if I could use the same ones. Oh, I'm grateful for my morning coffee because I really, really am. But that's not the only thing that I'm grateful for. And when we don't allow ourselves to use the same ones, we aren't just clutching at straws trying to find new ones. We're actually opening our eyes to things that we are grateful for, we've just forgotten about or not given enough attention to. So you started this practice in October. We're now, I don't know how many months later, but quite a few. How have you been able to, from someone who's never done a gratitude list before, to doing new ones every single day, how have you managed to do that, to keep that up?
I guess it's just, I know what I'm working towards, and it's something to keep me focused in the present. So, because it's very easy to allow our minds to go here, there, and everywhere, but just dedicating some time in the morning to just bring ourselves in and just think about what we do have. I think it's, at first, it's very, very challenging to think of even one or two. It definitely was for me. But I guess it's that habit of, on a daily basis, just pushing ourselves a little bit to kind of stretch that comfort zone, because at the end of the day, it is a comfort zone. We're very stuck in the negatives that we tell ourselves, but being able to kind of push into, okay, but what's positive though? It really lines up to what you do have, and it creates that positive thinking that will then come second nature. Whereas now, when I do my gratitude list, it just flows, it's done, it's really quick. But yeah, it's definitely the habit of just dedicating that time doesn't take long, 5 minutes to write a journal in the morning.
And so that gratitude list, yeah, that definitely does help with the accepting the present, because it's getting you to focus on what you like about the present rather than what's rubbish. So yeah, if you were to wake up and your first thought is, oh, I've got to go into work, and oh my God, I've got to see that person again, and then now I've got to go downstairs and see my mum that's complaining at me and this, that, and the other, you're not going to be in a good mood for the day. But if you strategically, yeah, you've got those thoughts in the back of your head, but you strategically get out a piece of paper and write down what is good about today or this very moment, even if it is your bed, even if it's nothing to do with work, you're then starting your day from the perspective of, do you know what? There are some good things about today. And when you do that consistently every single day, like you have, those initial thoughts of, oh, I wish I hadn't woken up, or I wish I didn't have work, or oh my God, I feel so anxious, they get quieter and quieter. So those thoughts that you had a year or so ago, a year and a half ago, are they still there? Are they really quiet? Like say 10 out of 10, or let's go 100%. 100% is I can barely move. These thoughts are so loud and so controlling. And zero being I don't hear any thoughts at all. Where would you say those thoughts are?
I'd probably say kind of around a 3 for me.
3%, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're there. They're always going to be there. But it's just a matter of, we can very easily go, oh, hello, and please stay with me. Or we can go, okay, I've acknowledged that you're here, but actually, I don't need you. Because linking back to your values, that negative thought is not going to link in with your values. It's not going to help you make progress within your day. It doesn't necessarily mean progress with work or anything like that, just progress within yourself, because this is a journey. So allowing that in, that's automatically, it's putting a hurdle in your way. But if you acknowledge it and then you then turn it away, that's really empowering to then move on and do exactly what you want to do. So I'll never, ever say, no, they're not there. They very much are. But it's just, again, it's a choice that we get to make. And I know I'd much rather choose to, you know, pass it on, not pass it on, but, you know, get rid of it than keep it. Because why would I want to keep it?
Absolutely. And I'm going to play like devil's advocate here. With you say you get the choice, and I completely agree, and that knowledge that you have the choice over how you feel or which thoughts you hold on to is what feels empowering. But sometimes when you're at your absolute lowest, and I know sometimes if I'm having I don't believe in bad days anymore, because every single day before I go to bed, I think of the best thing that happened during the day, and there's always something that was good, so it's never a bad day. But that doesn't mean I don't have a day where I'm low, less motivated or less energetic or hormonal. And on those days, it can feel like I don't have a choice, because those thoughts are very much maybe in my head. And I can't just push them away, or you try and push them away, but then you're forcing it, and you're almost putting so much focus on them that they stay closer to you than ever before. So when you say you have that choice, for those people who are listening that are like, yeah, cool, Marcus, that sounds well and good, and I can do that when I'm feeling good, but when I'm feeling rubbish and I don't feel I have the mental energy to choose, what then?
So we can always go to what we have the energy to do in a positive way. So if you want to stay in bed all day because you don't feel motivated to go out, well, let's just keep it to a room, because let's face it, we've all kind of been there where we don't want to move, we don't want to get out of bed. So what do we have in our room? Do we have a book? Do we have TV? Do we have, you know, games or something? If you're a gamer like I used to be, can you draw your attention to that? The thing that you find comfort in, and work through that. If that's not working, it may very well just be a day where, okay, you're here, okay, let's just sit together. But it's important to try all the positive things, what normally works for you, what normally makes you feel good. But then if they don't work, it's okay. just have a day in bed.
Yeah, I completely agree.
It's important to know that, yes, you have a choice to say goodbye negative thing, but it's very important to also know that if you've tried everything and it doesn't work, you've tried, you've made that effort, so you don't judge yourself on that, because you've done everything that you think you possibly can. If it's not worked, it's that day.
Yeah. But I guess also that is a choice in itself to some degree. Okay, if you had a choice, you would choose to be more positive, but if that's not happening and you do just still feel really low, choosing to just sit in it, as you said, sit in those thoughts to observe them or just to feel low, is still empowering, because you're not sitting there. It's the difference between sitting there and complaining about how you're feeling versus sitting there and letting it come and letting it almost wash over you or continue to make you feel rubbish, but not fighting it.
Yeah.
And going back to what you said about accept that if nothing's worked, then sit and appreciate that, accept that. There's this woman called Esther Hicks. It's this whole law of attraction, manifestation kind of area. And she taps into this person called Abraham Hicks. If you know, you know. And what she says that I absolutely love is, if you can't grab onto a positive thought and change your mood and the negative just feels like it's drowning you and suppressing you and it's got its grip on you, then take a nap. Now, I personally can't nap, so that doesn't work for me. But the premise still remains in that, okay, you're super hormonal, you're super low today, wait it out for the day, go to sleep, and you will wake up feeling better. And even if you don't, 2 days go past, you wake up on the third day, you feel better. There's an end to it. And sometimes all you need to do is just go to sleep or have a shower or do something that kind of changes your state, refreshes your mind, and then you're out of it. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Okay. So we've looked at how we can accept the present, whether we're feeling amazing 10 out of 10, or we're still in the same shitty environment, or we're just feeling low. But going on to values and starting with valuing yourself and knowing your own self-value, that is a really tricky thing for a lot of people. And I think there's a big stigma around valuing yourself and whether that's arrogance or not. So you've spoken about it quite a bit, but one, what does valuing yourself look like, and how the hell have you made it there? How have you gone from thinking that your life isn't worth living to knowing your own value?
To answer that question, I think I have to go back to the place where it was just so extremely challenging for me. The fact is, I've been in therapy for 3 years now, and obviously that version of myself 3 years ago, yeah, it's completely different. It was the one that was kind of battling the idea of getting support and actually making progress within myself. But obviously over the time of doing all that work, it's allowed me to become more aware of how I'm feeling, to the point where I then start talking and then I'm just like, okay, I've already got the answer, or I've already really acknowledged, okay, I'm feeling this emotion in my chest, or I'm feeling it here. And it's hard work to go from not having that value where you're kind of stuck. Let's just say stuck in that place of uncertainty. And obviously therapy is fantastic. I highly recommend it to anyone. But also the retreat for me was a massive eye-opener. So I'd already had some tools in my bag that I was using, but it was that week of diving into everything, because that's where the work happens, and it's difficult. And it can be emotional. I mean, I cried every single day on that retreat.
And you weren't the only one.
But obviously that retreat, which hit so differently to therapy, was that it was a week of just constant work. And it felt great, because acknowledging how you're feeling and diving into the whys, it gets you so many answers. And from answers comes action. Because to be able to beat anything, you have to understand the thing that you're trying to overcome. So for me, I then realized that trying to end my life June last year, I really, like, I felt sorry for that guy, but it was also, I felt so extremely proud of how strong and resilient he was, I am. So yeah, to then go from that point of such a low and understand that that person has so much worth, looking at it as an external person, but even though it is myself, that how would I feel for that person if it wasn't me? What would I want to do for them? And of course, if we say someone so low, what do we want to do? We want to help them. So by looking at myself from an external point of view, I wanted to help him. And I acknowledged that I loved him, which is so incredibly difficult for me. But like, I truly did. Like, it's definitely hard to then go from a place of, I don't like myself, to then go, wow, I love myself.
That's a big jump.
But it's acknowledging the challenge that you've been through, acknowledging the fact that you've got through that challenge. You are still here. You're still working on yourself. And that just opens so many doors for the future. But I definitely say try looking at yourself as an external point of view and just acknowledge, how would you feel if that was somebody else? What would you want to do for that person? And by doing that for me, I understood my values. And by sticking to your values, it doesn't make you arrogant. It, you know, it's being true to yourself, and in ways of protecting yourself, I guess, is boundaries. It's very important to put boundaries in place, because that's telling other people, I will accept this or I won't accept this. And then obviously the rest is on the other person. It's not on you. You've expressed your values. If that person doesn't want to line up to that, that's on them. So by staying true to you, that allows you to move forward and live the life that you want to live. Because at the end of the day, we can't control anyone else, but we can control ourselves. So by putting in a boundary, that's kind of us doing our job for ourselves, really.
When you started putting in boundaries, was there ever a fear that you would lose a lot of people? And have you lost a lot of people? And how do you feel about that?
I definitely have lost some people, but that's okay. Because by them people not respecting the fact that I was putting in the boundary in the first place, and then two, not respecting the boundary, that just showed me that actually they don't respect me. And I'm not going to have anyone in my life that's not going to respect me or my values. And that's a very, very challenging thing to do, because us as humans, we want to be surrounded by people. It's just naturally. But if they don't bring value to your life, if they don't add anything, why would we want them around? So a big one for me is, I am one of five, but actually one of my older brothers, I haven't spoken to him for, say, 4 or 5 years, maybe. Obviously, this was way before the retreat, way before therapy. But I think it's a prime example, is that, yes, he's my brother, and obviously family, you want to try and stick as close to family as possible. But if they don't treat you right or treat you with the respect that you deserve, it's okay to then remove yourself from them. Because at the end of the day, it's your safety. Consideration of not only physical safety, but mental safety as well. So it's important to listen to what you need and action that. So if someone doesn't respect it, it's okay to say goodbye to them.
So as somebody who's had a lot of anger issues in the past, how do you express those boundaries or say goodbye to people or create that distance without becoming angry or frustrated? How do you do that calmly and maturely, because the way that you're speaking about it is very calm and very accepting. But also the things that you're saying, I think somebody who doesn't have that level of self-awareness and emotional intelligence might try and do those things, but end up getting very emotional during it. So what would you say to somebody who's like, yes, there are these people in my life that are dragging me down and I'm struggling with, but I either don't know how to have that conversation, how to distance myself, I'm worried about how they'll be or how I'll be. What would you say to that?
So, yeah, for that one, it can be quite tricky. And the conversations, there's a lot of emotion behind them sort of conversations. So what I think is a great tool is to actually write down what you want to say. So really just put your heart to paper and just see how you feel about it. So you kind of, before you even approach the conversation, you already have an idea of how you're going to feel because you've already acknowledged the conversation that you're about to have. And then by starting the conversation, you want to implement a boundary. And it, say, for example, I find it really challenging that you want to meet up with me every single day. I don't know. It's just popped out of my head. But actually, you want to have time for yourself. And actually, you'd want to see that person 2, maybe 3 times a week. Okay. If you've gone from seeing them every single day, you want to cut it down a little bit, go 2 to 3 times a week. So by approaching that conversation, you can say something like, okay, I really appreciate our friendship and I love spending time with you, but I also feel like I need a little bit of time for myself. So what I'd really like to do is go from seeing each other every single day to 2 to 3 times a week. How does that sound? And then gauge the rest of the conversation by the response. Let's say they accept it first. Great. They've accepted your value and you're able to move on. If they don't accept it and they become argumentative, that's when you bring in the boundary again. So, okay, I appreciate you still want to see me every single day, but for me and my self-worth, I don't feel like I can do that. Again, wait for their response. And then if it's negative again, you can approach it by saying, okay, well, for now, I'm going to remove myself and allow you time to consider this. And then if you still want to disregard my boundary, I'm going to have to really think about our friendship. So then that you've implemented it 3 times now. Now the rest is on them. And then if they even come back after a few days of contemplating it and they still don't want to do it, that's when you go, okay, well, I need to remove myself from this friendship because I feel as though you're not listening to my needs. You're not respecting my values or my time. So therefore, I don't think this is a friendship that I can stay within. And just remove yourself. It's going to be emotional because it's obviously a solid friendship. But by having that space that away from this person, you can then reflect on the entire thing and actually see the signs where they haven't been respecting your values, maybe or even multiple things. And I think that space is perfect for clarity. You can grieve the friendship, 100% grieve it. But it's important to know that in time, that actually having that space and that separation away from that friend is going to bring you more value than keeping yourself in that challenging situation. So yeah, it's definitely, if we choose to stay in an environment that doesn't align with us, I feel like that only eats away at us more.
Mm-hmm.
But by removing that, that then allows you to blossom. It allows the sun to come through and really show the opportunities and what you really want to be doing. I hope that answers the question.
No, I think that you address that really well. And a lot of people really struggle with expressing boundaries or just having difficult conversations. And the way that you've just painted that out really clearly, showing what happens if something doesn't happen, if they're not on board with what you've said, I think that's going to help a lot of people. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think we're going to go into some quick fire questions.
Okay.
So first thought, try and just whatever comes to mind first of all. Okay, let's start with some warm-up ones. Favorite color, go.
Blue.
Favorite country.
Greece.
Hey. If you had to pinpoint one specific strategy or realization that got you from where you were to where you are now, very hard question, what one thing would that be?
Why? The question of why.
Okay. Where do you think you would be today if you hadn't have made the changes that you just discussed?
In a very darker place, or if not, not here.
Any goals or ambitions for the future?
I am going to be a psychotherapist with my own business, supporting you with retreats.
Yeah, because of Marcus's incredible journey, and well, you've heard it from him himself how aware he is of his own journey, but also he's spent so much time reflecting on his journey and sitting in the stuff that he goes through every day. It's not like life is perfect for you now, or that it ever will be. It's not that your day to day is free of challenges. As you said, you wake up knowing that there are going to be challenges, but your way in of handling them and dealing with them, being aware of them, understanding them for what they are, has completely changed the way that you deal with them. So in some of our future retreats, Marcus is going to be joining us as the transformation and accountability coach, helping guide other people through the retreat. He'll be out there with us in October, working one-to-one with some of the people that come and join us out there and helping to keep them accountable afterwards. Hey, quick fire question related to accountability. What was the hardest thing coming out of the retreat? When you got back home, what was the hardest, the most challenging thing, if that makes sense?
Overthinking as reflection. Definitely a passive overthinker, and kind of obviously got back in, obviously back in the home world. And then sort of, yeah, kind of getting into my own head and seeing it as overthinking. Overthinking is very negative, but seeing as things as reflection, it's extremely empowering. So yeah, just swapping that. So now I self-reflect quite a lot. So yeah, I think that's probably
a
challenging point for me.
What does that self-reflection look like? Is that something that you do in your journal every night before you go to bed, or is it just in your mind? What does that look like?
Yeah, I do both. If it's something that is really, really got a hold, I'd say, has quite affected me, I will write and I'll write and I'll write in my journal. But I've actually got really good now at recognizing something straight away and going, okay, in reflection of that, this could have been done or that could have been done. Because we can go, oh, no, I did this and it led to this and it led to this, but what if this, what if that, what if this? But just by going, okay, in self-reflection, okay, this was the result from this action. So next time, if an opportunity like this or a challenge like this arises again, I know not to do that. So yeah, it's just, yeah, I pick things up on the spot, self-reflect. Sometimes I'll actually just sit down in my room with no TV, no music, and I'll just kind of bring it peace, almost meditation, but just in silence, just really sitting with my breath and just sort of seeing what comes up, acknowledging everything, and kind of just, yeah, exploring where my mind just naturally takes me. So I think, yeah, I kind of do a pick and mix of methods there. So yeah.
Gotcha. Final two quickfire questions. What is a message that you would give to somebody who is in the same place as you were this time last year?
This too shall pass. It's a quote from Tom Hanks. Great, great actor. But it's so true. We find ourselves in some low periods, but it's important to know that every single dark period you've had, you've survived it. You've got through it. If you're in one right now, this too shall pass. You've beaten it so many times before, which only goes to show how strong you are as a person.
And if anything, you know, those dark periods usually lead to something good, right? Every con that usually happens, there's usually a pro to it. When life feels like it's falling apart, I've spoken to some people recently who are like, like everything's going wrong. But usually in those moments, everything is going wrong to lead you to what's right, even though it doesn't feel like it. And sometimes, as you say, it's just sticking it out and knowing this is going to pass, this or something better. If I feel at my absolute lowest now, then it can't get any worse. And believing that, well, if it can't get any worse, it's got to get better.
100%. And I'd just like to add into there that actually all of my negative low periods, I thank them now. Back then, you know, if someone ever told me you're going to thank these moments, I would have been like, nope, you're wrong. Whereas actually, those moments have given me so much resilience, so much clarity of what my worth is. Because by going through all of those and how they've affected me, obviously they don't bring value to me. So I'm going to know that these sort of environments I'm not going to, you know, enter into. And obviously, let's just go with my breakup, the one that for me, that was the first time I had ever truly felt something for anyone. And then it went completely wrong in the wrong direction. And obviously from that, I then lost my job because it was just that sort of environment, having a breakup in a workplace, it just got very difficult. So I lost my job. I then had to go back to a previous job that I didn't actually like at the time where I worked there first time, but I'm back there now. It is much better. But from that breakup, it definitely was like, okay, the retreat obviously came up. I'd followed you for a long time before anyway. But I was like, okay, this came up. I was like, right, I just need this. I need to get away. So let's do that. And then from that retreat, I really valued my life. I think it was day three, where I was like, okay, I don't want to die. I want to live. And obviously I shouted that at Mount Skopos. And yeah, I just really appreciated my life. Came away from there with purpose, so much clarity for the future. If I hadn't gone to the retreat, I wouldn't be here working with you now as a transformation accountability coach. And that aligns so much with the business that I want to make going forward. So I'm getting the experience that I need, sort of working towards doing a retreat, or behind the scenes stuff, obviously going out there to then see it on a different side. So from that one really challenging time, has come so much, has brought so much, sorry. So I thank it. Mm. And for you guys listening at home, yeah, it probably doesn't sound believable right now for you, but trust me, you will thank it one day because, yeah, it does bring you so much.
I saw a quote post on Instagram today and it said something like, a ball has to hit the floor before it can shoot up into the sky. And it's so true. We, to some degree, if we never hit that all-time low, if we never hit the floor, first of all, we don't appreciate the good so much because it just feels normal. But also we never develop, we never get challenged so much that encourages us to do the work. So yeah, that was a nice little metaphor that I saw today. Okay, final quick fire question. Bit of a unique one.
Okay.
Favorite memory ever? What is a really nice memory that you have?
Okay, I'm not going to go for the retreat because I feel like that's
pop out.
Too niche. but probably, this isn't really quick fire, is it? I'd probably go to when I was in amateur dramatics and I was dressed as Widow Twanky. I had these great big fake boobs on. I was wearing a dress, a wig, and I was loving life. I was singing all these songs. And obviously the director did not like me because I didn't learn the script. I just improvised my way through it. I was just feeling the moment. The person reviewing it, he even acknowledged the fact that the director probably is annoyed with me. But then he was like, he carried the show so well. He was really funny. He just saved some of the mistakes that had happened from other cast members. But yeah, just being up on stage and being silly. I love being silly. So that's probably it.
Yeah, that absolute feeling of joy. And if you haven't caught on already, Marcus has an amazing laugh and just brings, like, spreads so much joy. But the best part is he feels that joy himself now, which is exactly why I wanted him to come on and share his story. I really, really hope that it has inspired you. And yeah, who knows, in a few years, maybe Marcus will be running his own retreat or with his own business, and you'll be seeing a lot more of him. But thank you so much, Marcus. I really, really appreciate you coming on here, as nervous and as slightly ill as you are. Thank you so much. And all that's left to say to you and everybody listening is, I appreciate you.